As soon as we say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, God looks at us and says, righteous, justified, sanctified, glorified. If he's forgiven you and he looks at you and he sees Jesus, righteous.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, Congratulations. This is the first chapter of the series called The Sermon on the Mount. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Last time, we learned about the true meaning of what it means to be poor in spirit. We saw that the kingdom of heaven is made available through Jesus Christ to those who acknowledge their own spiritual poverty. And today, we're going to learn about the blessings that come to those who mourn, and to the meek, and to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, I can't wait to share it with you, so let's get right to today's message. Man, when I was sitting in juvenile home, that preacher came, pointed his long bony finger right in my face and told me I was going to hell, which really was not news to me. But I tell you, that's what the conviction of sin is all about. If you're not convicted of sin, you're never going to get saved. We could put it this way. Blessed are the poor in spirit who know they're poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. In the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to the church in Laodicea about those who were poor in spirit, but they didn't see it. Look at what he said. You say, he's talking right to them, you say, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And then Jesus says to them, but you don't realize you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And we could take those five adjectives and put them into one verse, poor in spirit. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. These people in the church of Laodicea were lost and didn't even know it. Sitting in church. He says, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. So to me, when Jesus opens up the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes with the very first thing, blessed are the poor in spirit who know it, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven, then I fully understand what he's doing. He's starting at base one. You must be saved for any of the rest of this message to be relevant to you at all. You've got to come through the gate. You've got to be saved. Come through the door. I'm standing at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. He will be saved. But until then, you are poverty stricken. You are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and spiritually naked. We all have to begin at the first beatitude. How many of you are so thankful that the first beatitude took place in your life? Amen? It took place in your life. And we admitted, oh, my Lord, I am so spiritually poverty-stricken. Save me. When we do so, Jesus promised, ours will be the kingdom of heaven. Now, the next one follows the first one. He says, blessed are those who mourn. Now, the word mourn is also very, very graphic. It means the equivalent of or the mourning level of somebody who has lost a loved one. That level of mourning. Paralyzing mourning. Deep mourning. It is grief so severe it takes possession of a person and cannot be hid. This person is heartbroken, shattered, undone. It's not talking about somebody just kind of moping. No, this person is totally shattered. Blessed are the shattered. Blessed are the emotionally ruined. Blessed are the devastated emotionally. Now, like you, I read that and I go, how can they be blessed? Again, because the answer is standing there. I'm the only one who can really comfort you. Now, keeping it in context, church, I believe he's again talking about the person who has realized their poverty in spirit, and you know what? They are saying, I feel convicted of my sin. I am so heartbroken that I am in sin, and I have broken the heart of God. Amen. That's the context. He's addressing those who have come under deep conviction and sorrow for their sin. It follows the first beatitude. Oh, wow, I realize I'm poverty-stricken, I'm lost. And now, blessed are the mourning, I'm mourning over the condition that I'm in. Listen, I've never seen anybody get saved that was feeling great about themselves when they came to the cross. I've always seen people weeping, crying, shaking, trembling, humbled, mortified, aghast at their condition before God. Mourning. And Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, because they're going to be comforted when the blood covers their sin and they receive the peace of God. The person in mind, no doubt about it to me, has seen the extreme poverty of their spiritual condition, that they have sinned against God, that they are utterly lost, and the knowledge of this has broken their heart. They are mourning. Now, let me give you an example. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church a letter, and it was 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he wrote to them, and he rebuked them good for several things that were in their midst that were sinful. And it brought them under great conviction. I want you to look at how he describes it. Listen to how they mourned under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, quote, I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I'm glad I sent it. Not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have. So you were not harmed by us in any way. I did not harm you bringing you under conviction of sin. Amen. For the kind of sorrow, he goes on to say in verse 10, the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Do you hear what he's saying? He said, I sent you a letter. Here you were putting your seal of approval on sin in your midst. You weren't dealing with immorality that was in your midst. There were things that were moving through the church there at Corinth that were against the word of God. And they just thought it was great. They were politically correct Corinthians. And Paul sent this letter and rebuked them, and they came under mourning. They came under sorrow. But it was not the kind of sorrow that leads to death. Because the kind of sorrow that leads to death is that sorrow for which there is no cure. But when you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit for sin, it brings mourning. And those who mourn over conviction of sin go to God with it and say, Lord, please forgive me for the sin that has been in my life and the sin that I put my seal of approval on. God, forgive me for siding with the devil and not with you. Forgive me, Lord. And what happens? That person is comforted when God says, you are forgiven through my blood. Okay? So, do you see the progression with me in the Beatitudes? First, the person poor in spirit. Uh-oh, I am poverty-stricken. I am lost. But then those that mourn, they begin to mourn over their sin. They're heartbroken over their sin. And what do? They go to Jesus. It's not the kind of sin that leads to death or sorrow that leads to death, but it's the sorrow that leads to repentance, which brings life. And they go to the Lord and they say, please forgive me, Lord. I'm heartbroken over my sin. And he says, forgiven. And he comforts them, and peace sweeps over their soul. And you know what happened? In this verse, they get saved. Thank you. Amen. There is no question in my mind that this is the mourning that Jesus was talking about. Yes. We'll never be comforted, as he promised, until we're first sorry, with godly sorrow over our sin. For that kind of sorrow leads to repentance, which leads to salvation, which leads to experiencing the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that our sins are forgiven. I just see Jesus tracking the salvation of a soul in the Sermon on the Mount. Not that he doesn't comfort us when we're mourning about other things, but I think in context, this is exactly what it's talking about. They saw their poverty of spirit, mourned over their sins, and are now in the kingdom of God through faith in Christ. Now, how many of you are thankful that God convicted you of sin? Right? Because without it, we'd be out there lost as a goose in a hailstorm. East Texas just came right out of me. I was there for 7 years. Every once in a while, I backslide and go back into it.
Amen.
So keep that in mind. Now, look at the next one, the word meek. The word meek is a fruit of the Spirit. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. We tend to think, well, if somebody calls you meek, he just called you weak. That's not it. Meekness is actually a strength. Do you know what it means? It means literally strength held back.
Amen.
Strength held back. My son teaches martial arts. I've gone to his contests, and I've seen him bring down men much bigger than him. But he knows a lot of people that are in martial arts. And a story was told me. A guy who had a black belt driving down the highway, and another guy in a pickup truck. He pulled in front of him, not the guy in the pickup truck, the martial arts guy, just changed lanes and got in front of this guy with the pickup. And the guy with the pickup, and you know pickup drivers, they don't like you to pull in front of them. You understand that? We've noticed that. Pickup truck drivers are a type. I don't want to stereotype, but just let me stereotype. No, not all of them, but anyway, he pulled in front of this guy. He pulled in front. And this guy in the pickup, he had a cowboy hat, the whole bit, manly man. He starts leaning on his horn, got mad, and pulled up next to the guy. And the guy that knew the martial arts looked like a nerd. Just, you know, didn't look bad at all. So the guy pulls up to him, get over, get over. Well, the guy that knew the martial arts, black belt, pulled over. The guy in the pickup pulled over the side of the road. He jumps out of his pickup truck and starts heading right for this black belt. And the guy that was the black belt just did one of his poses. And this cowboy froze in his tracks. Now, you know what the black belt did? He was meek. What he was telling him is, I could, but I won't. He said this guy backed up like this, tipped his hat, got in the pickup, and drove away. Oh, I love that. Now, that may be a kind of a gnarly illustration, but it's this. Meek means I could, but I won't. You know how God is so meek? Do you know that God could wipe out the planet tonight, but he won't? How many times have you said, if I were God, that person would be vapor? And it's a good thing you're not God. Right? So get in mind that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength held back. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. Meekness points to the person who is, one commentator said, quote, of a mild, gentle, long-suffering, and forgiving disposition, who are slow to anger, averse from wrath, not easily provoked, and if at any time at all provoked, soon pacified, who never resent an injury, nor return evil for evil, but make it their care to overcome evil with good, who by the sweetness, affability, courteousness, and kindness of their disposition, endeavor to reconcile such as may be offended, and to win over them to peace and love. The commentator is Benson. Do you get the picture here? So what is he describing, folks? He's describing a person who is developing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, so they started out, oh my gosh, I'm poverty stricken, I'm lost, and I'm going to hell. Then I'm mourning over this. Oh God, forgive me, I've sinned against you, I've broken your heart, so it's broken my heart. Now they're saved and they're bearing fruit. So he's talking now, as this person continues their spiritual journey, hey, blessed are you, meek, for you shall inherit the earth. The meek person leaves their lot in life to God. Their life is one of faith in His goodness, His justice, and they bank on His promises. Jesus said they will inherit the earth. What in the world did He mean by that? Well, I take that to mean in the world to come, when Jesus rules the earth, they will share in what is His. Didn't Jesus say as much? Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Jesus said that when he was talking about his return. So when Jesus returns, those who have trusted their lot to him and walked in meekness, the fruit of the Spirit, and didn't walk in vengeance and love people and tried to minister to people and reach people and gave their lives to help other people in the name of Jesus, those meek people who let him be their vindicator and not them, who let him stand up on their behalf and not themselves, who didn't live a life of vengeance but a life of forgiveness, those meek people are going to be told by Jesus, hey, come on, enter into the joy of your Lord, and I'm about to put you over much in the world to come. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Oh, I'll tell you, church, there's a whole new world coming. Do you know that? There is a whole new world coming. And Jesus is going to be the ruler. He's going to be the benevolent dictator. There is not going to be any vote. No Republicans, no Democrats, no libertarians, none of this icky, pukey political process. None of that. He's going to be established by God. He's going to rule the world with a scepter of righteousness. And the whole world is going to be under him as he rules out of Jerusalem. And those who have been meek and walk in his ways are going to help him take care of the planet. Really, Pastor Jeff, do you really believe that? Well, that's what Jesus said. That's what he said. So, yes, I do believe it because that's what he said. And some of you, I just heard you think this. Well, I don't want to work in heaven. I'm doing all my work here. I thought I was going to float around on a cloud with wings and a harp. Kumbaya. No, but you know what? It won't be work. It will be not manual labor, but Emmanuel labor. Right? Now, once again, now we're at the fourth beatitude and the last one I'm going to cover tonight. Fourth beatitude addresses the spiritually hungry and thirsty. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now let's keep the context. Say with me, a text without a context is a pretext. Cults are launched by plucking a verse out of its context and making a major doctrine out of a verse that's been taken out of its context. Context is everything. So we're keeping in context here. The context is still dealing with first the spiritually poverty-stricken person. That's the first beatitude, who knows their condition. Second, followed by that same person mourning in repentance, followed by their having entered the kingdom and they are producing spiritual fruit, illustrated or typified by meekness. And now we have them literally hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Now, I guarantee you something, folks. The lost person does not hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you remember all those Friday nights you went out before you were saved? When you walked out the door, were you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Anything but, right? Only the saved hunger and thirst after genuine righteousness. So I see here an individual who has been made right righteous by the blood of Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when I come to Jesus, when I've been convicted of sin and I see my sin for what it is and it breaks my heart and I'm mourning and then he forgives me, what am I coming to him for? I'm saying, oh God, I can't be righteous on my own. I have slaughtered your commandments. So Lord, you make me righteous. And so when we turn to Jesus, the very first thing that happens when we say, Jesus, forgive me. And I trust everyone in here has done that. And all you watching by streaming video and all that hear this on the radio, have you done that? Have you let Jesus be your righteousness? Because if you haven't, you don't have any of your own. Amen. That's why he died on the cross. Sacrificed lamb. God made him who had never sinned to be sin for us, that we might become literally the righteousness of God in him. So as soon as we say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, God looks at us and says, righteous, justified, sanctified, glorified. Oh, that's not the way I feel, Pastor. It doesn't matter how you feel. You're not saved by your feelings. If he's forgiven you, and he looks at you, and he sees Jesus, righteous. Okay? Right? So we are clothed with the very righteousness of Christ when we're saved. But there's more than that to it. Because the person who is genuinely saved desires to live a righteous life, not just be declared righteous. But the saved person wants to live a righteous life. That's the new nature in us. We want to live a righteous life. And that too is addressed in this verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled and satisfied. For that's also made available to a born again child of God by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So notice, as soon as you're saved, the brand new Christian babe longs for spiritual growth and a life that conforms to God's will. It's a hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Jesus said, you will be filled because God will bring it to pass. Now, we're never perfect, but don't we long for the ever-smiling face of God on our life? Don't we long for the nod of approval from the Heavenly Father? Don't we love it when we feel him saying, well done, well done. Oh, I'm proud of you, child. I'm proud of you for walking with me, for praying, for telling that person about me, for saying no to that temptation. I'm proud of you. Abba, Father, thank you, Daddy. Who's your daddy? Your daddy is the Heavenly Father. All right? So, now watch this. Say with me, they shall be filled. He's going to help you not only experience righteousness imputed to you, but also righteousness imparted to you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 to 24. Read it with me. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So there is a progression here. And I'm going to close with this. From a person drowning in spiritual poverty and lostness, to a genuine mourning that leads to repentance, to having entered the kingdom of God by faith in Christ and bearing the spiritual fruit of meekness, to that same person longing to grow into a life of righteous living.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled, Even in the Tough Times, in this series called The Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.